Kids are heading back to school around the country, and teachers are, as always, trying to help them learn better. Our next guest has one answer to how to do that: get kids to listen better. Monica Brady-Myra founded ListenWise. It's a company that tries to build better listeners in K through 12 classrooms, and she writes about it in her book, ListenWise. I spoke with her last December. We should say right at the top that you're a former reporter for our home station, WBUR. We know each other well. And as a reporter, you first became interested in audio storytelling. But I know that your view of the power of audio has expanded greatly with the help, in part, of your daughter. And I wonder if you can tell us that story.
Yeah, well, I was working as a reporter at WBUR, and my daughter was in about the third grade learning to read, and she was really struggling. And I got called in to her teacher to talk about what problem she was having and how we could help. But one thing I noticed was that because we listened every morning to NPR on the radio station, she understood everything that she heard. And I knew that if I had put a script in front of her and asked her to read it and have a conversation about the news, she never could have done that. So it just struck me that she is like many children out there who have trouble reading but can understand what they hear much at a much higher level. So that really launched me on this idea of taking all the great audio stories that are happening on public radio and in podcasts and getting them into the hands of teachers so that students like my daughter can succeed through listening.
So you started this company, ListenWise, that uses audio excerpts from, as you said, public radio stories and from podcasts, and you play them for children, or you give instruction on playing them for children. The stories that you pick, what are you looking for in particular, stories that you think would encourage listening?
Well, we're looking for stories that are aligned to what teachers need to teach, first of all, because we want them to use them in the classroom, but just as important as stories that really captivate you, that in just a few short seconds you can transport students somewhere else, either by building empathy with a character, with a person they're listening to, but also just describing other parts of the world and sensory. I mean, listening is such a sensory mode of learning, and we don't always think about it that way because it's sort of a passive thing that we all do. But in reality, we are activating so many parts of our brain when we listen. And I'd love to illustrate something along those lines if we can play a short clip from an NPR story by science reporter Michaeline Dukleff. And as you listen, I want you to think about what you are seeing, what you're feeling, what you're smelling while you're listening.
We've got bug spray, we've got headlamps. We're going into the forest. And it's deep.
And it's steep.
That's Kevin Olival.
Okay.
He's a virus hunter with EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based group of scientists. They fly around the world looking for killer viruses.
It becomes dense right away.
Ooh, thorns. He's brought me to a tropical rainforest. We're on the island of Borneo in Malaysia.
This way.
Because this is the type of place where outbreaks are born.
So that clip, I'm curious to hear from you, Lisa. What did that forest look like for you? What did it feel like?
Well, I'd say that it felt like it was buggy. It felt like it was kind of humid and oppressive, and that was in part from the ambience, what we call the ambience, which is the sound behind the story. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I'm getting at the fact that listening is an immersed experience view. That is what neuroscientists call it. Our brains are simulating what it's actually like to be in a scene, especially one as sound-rich as the one we just listened to. But imagine if you can take students there really quickly and then illustrate a point about science that you're learning in a classroom. That's what makes listening so powerful in learning.
But does what a student or child is listening to have to have that kind of rich ambience? If it's just a good story, are they going to listen to it then, even if it's sort of bare bones?
Oh, yeah, especially if it's well told. There are studies that show that just telling a good story improves your ability to listen. And the fact is that, like, we don't get better at listening as we get older. We just do that by really practicing listening as a skill. And too many of our educators really have a professional blind spot when it comes to listening. They don't think that it needs to be taught. They focus more on the traditional skills, math and reading, and that's understandable. But listening really is an essential skill that all effective learners need to know and improve.
You know, it's interesting because you say that teachers don't necessarily teach listening, but they sure get angry when kids don't listen, which happens a lot.
Yes, that is so true. I hear that all the time when I say, I've written a book called ListenWise. teach your students to be better listeners. They say, how can I do that? I said, well, you've got to help them exercise their listening muscle.
So I have a question about that, though. Yeah, there is a muscle, but it feels like there is so much working in the opposite direction, you know, in terms of torque. It's like whenever you, for instance, go online, as kids are wont to do, everything is trying to take you in a different direction within a nanosecond of your getting onto it. So, you know, we have short attention spans that are getting shorter all the time, and that includes children. So how on earth do you fight against that by trying to get kids to sort of just sit still and listen?
It's practice. It's really giving the teachers the tools to talk with their students about all the different types of listening that they're doing every day without realizing it. Precise listening, descriptive listening, strategic listening, and really helping them realize that they are in control of this listening muscle. And if they use it well, they're going to have a much easier time remembering the content or being engaged with their friends or not getting yelled at by their teachers or parents for not listening.
There are problems that some people have with the written word. They might have a problem with dyslexia, for instance. And there are inherent problems that people have with listening. How do you work with those?
Well, in terms of the reading challenges, students can listen at 2 to 3 grade levels higher than they can read. And listening is used regularly in the types of remediation for students who are struggling readers. But then there are also, I'm sure, students who struggle with listening. So on our platform and in many of the activities, there are many other supports such as pictures and other things to read that go along with the audio. We have transcripts with every single piece of audio. And that's a research-based, proven approach to improving literacy. Listening and reading at the same time really improves reading.
And you say in the book that if you are a good reader, you're going to be a good listener and vice versa.
Well, right now we know if you're a good listener, you're going to be a better reader. And that's because listening is an essential part of learning to read. It's a combination of decoding and language comprehension. And in our classrooms today, we have many, many ways to measure the reader as they progress up the scale of proficiency. But we don't have a way to measure the listener, even though these are so tightly tied.
Monica, can you talk about the changes that you have seen as a result of students having better developed listening skills?
Oh, I've heard some great stories from teachers. They say their students are more attuned to the world, that they're really absorbing material through listening, that then they will recount details of 2 weeks later, that there's a level of retention that's impressive, and that it's been a great way for students to get background knowledge about maybe a book that they're about to read. And they listen to an interview with Lois Lowry about why she wrote The Giver, let's say, and that really tunes them in and gets them excited to read.
You're speaking to a lot of parents in the audience. If they want to do one thing tonight with their child to get them to learn to listen, what would you recommend?
Well, I'd recommend what we do around our dining room table, which is just start by listening to your kids intentionally and giving them the space to talk and be heard. So we have a tradition in our family where we just ask a few simple questions. How was your day? Tell me one good thing. Tell me one bad thing that happened. Then we always ask them, and what did you do that was nice for someone else? And it gives them the power to speak as well as listen and share a little bit of themselves. And that's really what listening is all about.
So you're teaching them how to listen by you're doing the listening yourself.
Yeah, we are showing them. That is the number one thing. And when teachers ask me, I don't know how to get my students to listen, I say, well, have you taught them how to listen by showing them that you're listening and how you listen? Talk about what good listening requires of you, that you have eye contact and you're nodding and you're not looking at your phone and you're parroting back what they say. Maybe you're asking a follow-up question. All of these things happen at our dinner table too. And that is what has built, I think, a strength of listening among our daughters. And I think it's easy for anyone to do too.
Monica Brady Myroff's book is called Listen Wise: Teach Students to Be Better Listeners. Monica, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening.